everyone. This is Britt Lightning from Vixen, and you are listening to Tom and Zeus on the Shout It Out Loudcast.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oi.
This is Gene Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Kiss.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Grover Simmons.
Star?
Paul Stanley.
Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
My name is Ace Riley.
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no. Here come the kiss times.
Is that a positive thing?
Okay.
All right.
I'm gonna grab me an ice cold mellow yellow.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck them.
That's what
I'm talking about.
617-525-0.
You do?
Hey, fucko.
Do you like Kiss?
Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus with another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast, episode 267. Amit Zappa.
Yeah. All right. Another big guest. Great conversation coming up.
Yeah. We, thanks to one of our great listeners, Richard, connected us with Amit prior to, I think, November or December.
Yeah.
We had talked about getting him on. And,
yep.
He jumped on a quick Zoom call for us, and we were talking back and forth about coming on. And then in the meantime, before he comes on, he just released that episode where Gene came in. So it's perfect timing.
It was perfect timing. Yeah. We got lucky with that for sure.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And he makes the Kiss FAQ board seem like massive Kiss fans.
Oh yeah. He's nuts. This is going to be, you guys are going to love this.
Yeah. So Tom, last week we did compilation time.
Yep.
We did the third version of 20th Century Multifox fucking
Spencer Cook's Ramaswamy crap.
Whatever the fuck that was called.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we did a poll as always.
Yeah.
So whenever we have these compilation polls, a lot of times we'll ask, what songs do you think should have been on it? So this obviously was a compilation consistent of the Revenge era all the way through to Psycho Circus and beyond. So we said, what song do you think should have been added? So we said, Take It Off from Alive 3, the import version, Master and Slave, Rock and Roll All Night from MTV Unplugged, or In Your Face from the import version of Psycho Circus. 44% think that Take It Off should have, from Alive 3, should have made it onto the compilation. 23% Master and Slave, 22% Rock and Roll All Night, and only 11% Know What In Your Face Is from Psycho Circus in Japan.
Yep.
But that's okay. Let's see what Twitter had to say about this compilation. The feedback's always pretty good. Our buddy Costa, great episode, guys. I'm with Team Z on its ranking versus the other compilations. The highs are not that high, and the lows are, oh boy. And then he sends a meme of the two guys from Seinfeld written in Greek. And you're going to have to help me out with that. Fat Vince is out of breath is back. He said this compilation is weak. This compilation is weaker than my willpower at Hometown Buffet. Jesus Christ.
Tom, we're in Massachusetts, so we have the freshest of seafoods and restaurants like that.
Yeah.
We don't have like big buffets or Red Lobsters and chain stores like that.
The only buffets we have around anywhere would be like even a Chinese food buffet. And those are, but we don't have like old country buffet or,
yeah.
Like, those are for people that live like, I'm sorry, no
the
offense,
South.
But yeah, those, you're not finding those in New England. And
no.
If you are, they're not near us.
And the other thing is I've noticed is like, when I went to Graceland, I went to Memphis, and then you went to Nashville for Creatures Fest and stuff. Like everything in Nashville and Memphis and everything is world famous. World famous wings, the world
famous
most famous
Waffle
burgers.
House.
Yeah, it's like give me a fucking break.
No
it's
offense,
meant for fat people. The seating is huge. The like fucking menus are huge. The portions are huge. It is for fat people.
no offense, Waffle House, the diner two towns over from me is way better than Waffle House. So sorry.
Yeah.
Fucking, the Denny's one exit up from me is better than Waffle House.
I mean, I get it. I get it. Sometimes like that greasy place after a fucking leaving the Red Sox game and you're stumbling out and you see a sausage vendor whose grill was ransacked by the rats at night the night before.
Guy hasn't like, scraped off the gristle since the Sox beat the Yankees in 04.
But you're like, oh shit, I get a sausage and you've been downing over 12 Bud Lights. You wake up in an inferno of hot ass
and your apartment becomes the Kiss Cruise.
Whereas if somebody opens the door in the morning, they still smell like sick ass, like in the room. Like,
those green peppers just
that sausage and onions at 3 a.m. after a dozen Bud Lights, you are fucking giving birth. It's over. That bathroom.
It's over. It's over. Well, thank you, Fat Vince is out of breath, for having us go down this rabbit hole. We went from home down buffet to shit in your pants after a Fenway sausage. Jesus. Okay. I'm
sorry. Back to you, buddy.
Oh, God. Matt Murphy says, hashtag bravery. Now, is that because is that directed towards me because I had the bravery to rank this number 2 on my compilation list? Or I don't know.
I don't know.
Stop it. But anyways, that's what we got for Twitter.
Over on the Book of Face, Tom, Hooked on Sonics podcast, which is by our buddy Bruce Foudy.
That's right.
Great episode, guys. I actually skipped on buying this album because of the song selection. I agree, Zeus. Take It Off should have been included for Live 3. Tom's pick to represent Carnival of Souls are no-brainers, including of Nothing Can Keep Me From You. I would have liked to have had the re-recording of Detroit Rock City. I think it was when I started feeling this band was starting to put a lot of effort or consideration in the product they released.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, boy. Ronnie Bucharski.
Here we go. Here it comes.
You guys can even make discussions on piles of garbage entertaining. I was guilty of buying anything the band shit out during the 95 to 2000 period, and this was no exception. About 50% of what's in on it is poop. The only thing I will be there is missing is some flutes and some fucking hobbits dancing around. I Pledge Allegiance eats all parts of my asshole.
Stop that.
And Paul's voice on Nothing Can Keep Me From You sounds like he's getting his ass plowed by Hightower from Police Academy.
You know, flowers and shit.
You can tell some of the selections were self-serving. Give this diarrhea another chance. Agendas on behalf of certain members. While some real choice songs were left out. What a bunch of bullfuck. The cover is cool, though, because it represents my Kiss era, but overall, I could have jizzed out a better compilation.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Ronnie.
Oh, staying on that vulgar theme, Tom.
Yeah, we don't go for that vulgar. I don't go that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Denise Sorelli says, You guys make an episode about a terrible compilation fun. Nothing Can Keep Me From You blows more than me and my friends in high school. You're about to get 500 friend requests, Denise.
No, I don't know. Did she have a profile picture up? Because I doubt it.
The profile picture I see of her is Frog and Toad from the children's series.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a reason why she doesn't have a face then.
Face. Like, now she ain't never listening to us again.
Oh, shit. Sorry, Denise. I'll let you blow me.
By the way, did you see there was some like state congressman or state senator in a hearing was reading out like petitioners' names or something?
Oh, God.
And
yeah.
He had it wasn't, hey, would you blow me?
Yeah.
It was something like, I need a dick or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, what was the other one? I need a dick and something, hold my cock or something. hold it, hold his cock. something like that. And we have another one here from Holden Hiscock. I love the maturity level of doing
so
that.
Stupid.
Brett Roscoe, spoiler alert. Love this one. Bit of a low-key episode after some big hitters recently, but no drop in the fun or entertainment. The guy's always absolutely on it. Big laughs for me this week was Tom's reaction to Zeus place into the compilation. You're putting this last? Brett, you're so right, and I want to make a point to say that. Dude, every episode can't be a fucking Love Gun album review. So we got to spread shit out, right?
Yep.
So there are times like, oh, we gotta fit in an album compilation. We gotta fit in a tour review.
But I will say this:
something else. Like we like spreading shit out as much.
And I appreciate that people get that and they still enjoy the banter, the jokes, the conversation, the kiss talk. I get that because you're right. Not every week's going to be Ace Frehley and Steve Brown or Ahmet Zappa or whatever. It's we're gonna do album reviews, tour reviews, drafts, etc. And we know that you guys will still enjoy them.
Yeah. And the difference is, and I like to say, is we don't need to depend on if Kiss is making news this week to have an episode.
Not at all. We never did. We never really have, to be honest with you. It's part of Kiss World. It's part of our news segment.
It's the news section. We don't have to fucking make that a whole episode. Gene took a shit live on TV. Let's break that down.
Right. We don't do that. We never have.
Over on our Loudcasters page, Tom.
Yep.
Josh Brown says, when the chips are down, you know a few of us Loudcasters will lead the line of defense. Epic rant of the same bullshit that happens in here doesn't make it any less funny or entertaining. As for the compilation, I can agree. It has some obscure tracks, but Tom.
Okay. I want to defend myself for a minute, very quickly. I'm ranking this up against a multitude of compilations that have the same songs that we all bitch about at Kiss set lists. So Kiss releases a compilation that's different. I love Revenge. I love Carnival of Souls. And I love MTV Unplugged. So there's a compilation with songs from that. So I rank it higher because it's unique and unusual. I don't want a fucking Strutter, Deuce, and Cold Gin on all my compilations.
That's all right, buddy.
That's it.
I won't read any more shit on that. All right.
No, keep going. It's all right. Love you, Josh. I always appreciate your comments.
Justin Seal says, fucking great rant at the beginning. The twat flap that kept putting up grades of his songs was driving me nuts. Just delete the bullshit now non-show related stuff. And Tommy Ace crap is really getting old. Angry Justin out.
Well, good. We've replaced ratings with top tens now on Loudcasters, if you haven't noticed.
I know. And so
we have this
debate. Tom and I were like, we do want people to find this place as somewhere where they can post. And we don't want to be fucking over censoring everything. And no, I don't like this post. This doesn't make me laugh. Fucking delete. People should have the right to put up what they want. The only issue we're having is just saying to people, like, let's not hijack the fucking conversation where now you're putting up your thoughts every fucking day and it's your page, not ours.
Yeah.
And let's not try to do the same post 50 times. As someone was saying, one person put it up, then everybody put their thoughts underneath it.
In a thread.
25 people putting top 10 lists of the solo albums ranking. And then the next day, top 10 list of this is why I rank the members. Like,
right, because guess what? When you go to the page and start scrolling, you see nothing but that.
Yeah, and it gets tiring. We want fucking to have fun shit that you guys see everywhere.
Yeah.
And we got a nice comment here from Thanis, the Greek Thunder from Down Under.
Oh yeah.
But I have to move on, my friend, because we've got a few other shit we need to get to. YouTube now, Tom. YouTube.
Yes.
Joel Nuxman 6966. Hey, I think I once left a comment about you guys ripping on Paul. This was before I realized what you guys were all about. You guys rock. I've gone back and listened to all the past episodes. I always listen when I get to work early, super in the morning. Makes my day better. I appreciate the work you put into this. So happy to have a new episode. Paul Stanley's my favorite. And yes, I love the song Read My Body.
So do I.
Guilty pleasure, I guess. Thanks for the entertainment. Dude, we talk about this all the time. For all the people that are like, oh, Hot in the Shade, too many songs. They should have cut it down. Okay, great. Which songs? I would say cut out Prisoner and fucking Betrayed. And you'd say, well, you're fucking crazy. That should stay. Cut out fucking You Love Me to Hate You in this. And I'd be like, you're crazy. Give it to us all and then let us pick what we want to listen to.
Always. Yep.
Same thing with like a Read My Body, Bang Bang You. You may not like it, but I'd rather it's there than not there.
Yep.
That's all. Grunt a Guitar. Hey, guys, you got a new listener here in New Zealand.
All right.
Cheers, guy.
Cool. Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome, new listeners.
I think they call you guys Kiwis.
Uh-oh. Way to insult our new listener.
Oh, I'm just saying. That's what I think they call people from New Zealand.
Okay.
Titiana Bell 6680 says, fuck everyone. Love it.
That should be comment of the week right there.
Dale McMillan says, guys, quit reading dumb comments. Some people have nothing better to do than throw shade at others. Love this podcast.
Thank you. But Zeus and I have discussed that reading the negative comments gives us a avenue to rant. Not that we really need a reason for that, but
it's fun.
Yeah.
And so like if you're reading comments and some people make good comments, but a lot of it's complimentary. We also don't want to be fake and be like, oh, yeah, there's no negative comments. Yeah. And then we'll read some negative comments, but to throw shade
and then shit on them.
And shit on them. And so they don't get the fucking ego and think they want to do it over again. But then there are many times we'll just ignore somebody because they're just looking for the attention that mommy didn't give them when they were growing up.
There you go.
Yeah. Yep. Our buddy Joey Sasso.
Oh, I don't like this comment at all, but go ahead and read it because I have a lot to say to you, my brother.
Hey, it's me. I'm Joey Sasso. Joey Sasso. Seuss, love our chats. I talk to him all the time on Instagram. Actually, he texted me yesterday. So
that's why he doesn't like me, because you guys are little fucking buddies.
The kid's 30 years old. It's like, that's my.
Give a shit how old he is.
That's my Mimbo. I'm the George Costanza.
And I am down. I am down.
Yeah. And I'm going to go mountain climbing with him and forget to tie his rope.
Just make sure you bring sandwiches. Do you like sandwiches? What kind do you like?
Joey Zaza. Tom, you're fucking hilarious and make me laugh my ass off every week.
Oh, thank you.
I would love it to comment on today's episode. However, any feedback's now completely gone. With complete and utter disgust towards both of you for defending Godfather 3. Zeus, I'll give you a pass. Tom, you should be fucking ashamed with yourself. I tried being that guy for years looking for brilliance in that movie. It just ain't there. Don't get me wrong. It's great. It's just great in all the wrong ways. Joey Zaza was great, I have to admit. Can't wait for next week's episode, boys. Thanks for another killer episode.
Okay, first of all, you were looking for there is no brilliance in Godfather 3, but if anything in the Godfather family with Al Pacino and Andy Garcia, Talia Shire, that it's the Godfather lore. It's just like Star Wars. Phantom Menace sucks, but I like it because it's in the Star Wars world.
How many times have I said I could watch a Star Wars movie of R2-D2 taking a shit?
Yeah,
Same thing with Godfather.
Exactly. That's exactly right. No one's going to try to convince anybody that it's up there with the first two. Nobody.
No. Nope.
But we love you, Zaza, Zaso, Sasso.
Nothing for you, Joey.
Zaza.
Oh, your favorite, Tom.
Uh-oh.
Chef Salami Tits. Some people get it, some people don't. Keep laughing, making fun of the babies and losers that don't get it. They deserve it. You guys are the best.
Thank you. So lucky. What the fuck?
Chris Flood says, you guys are hilarious when you're angry, but Tom is 100% Joe Pesci or some guy from The Wire all the time. I couldn't care less about this album. But you're entertaining all the time. And Eddie, everyone I talked to was my friend Trunk, was good on Dorm Damage.
Well, thank you for that. I love The Wire. I'm a little bit concerned about who you think I am from The Wire, but that's okay.
Who was that guy? Prop Joe? the big fat guy is fucking.
No, I hope I'm not him. Jesus Christ. Who's that fat guy from The Wire?
No, your person, if he wasn't an A, he was a calm guy. No, but my mind went to him.
Yeah, I know. I love The Wire.
Prop Joe, whatever his name was.
That'll be my next binge. I'm binging all the True Detectives right now. Oh, yeah.
And Tom, that's what I got.
All right, we're going to mix it up this week. I'm taking over Instagram today. So we got one from JL Dan Giants. I don't know, there's a lot of vowels in there, buddy, so I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrong. Jesus Christ, you guys had me dying with laughter with your bitch session at the beginning of the podcast. As a fellow New Englander now living in Arizona, you brought me back to my past. Growing up Italian-American has brought back memories of my household and neighborhood growing up. Keep up the good work. Ockman tier. I received a mummified dog as swag.
Vinny Vincent.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, God. Oh, and then he says, I meant Ankh. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. Junior Vintage, as you read the lyrics at the end of each show, I realize that maybe a dance version of Nothing Can Keep Me From You could be a possible resurrection on the absolute shittiest song in history. Well, Daryl Alber, get on it. Turn that into a dance song somehow for us, buddy. And let's get a couple emails here. Our good buddy Paul Heider. Tom and Zeus wanted to say, I'm still enjoying all your episodes, though lately I'm worrying about those huge veins in your forehead as you read out listeners' comments. I was afraid you were all going to go scanners on us. Ooh, great reference. But turns out you like being angry, and now I'm not worried.
Yep, we do.
Love all your conversations with the various guests you've had on your show. I do not use the term interviews here. Because much to their relief, as well as ours, it all comes across as a sit-down in a pub. Keep it up. Then he gives us some thoughts on 10,000 volts. Love you guys, Paul. Paul, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it very much.
Paul who? Paul Rizzo? Paul Rizzo.
R-I-Z-Z-O. Then we got one from Music Vampire, also known as Cody. And he has some fun giving us his thoughts on what the 20th Century Millennium Collection Volume 4 would be. And he includes, don't touch my ascot. Thank you. Ugh. This was fun to this. He says this was fun to make. I had to include the new live version of Lick It Up since it's performed with the part of the Who song. I thought it would be hilarious if it was from Dubai. Hopefully those people get their DVD someday. That was shitty. Cody. Thank you for the email, Cody. That's what we got with Instagram and email this week. We'll wrap up feedback with you.
All right. Finishing up, Pete Gibbons on YouTube says, want to thank you guys for reigniting my love for Kiss. Like a lot of fans, I checked out years ago, but I started listening to your show and hadn't put on an album in years. Long story short, I've been cranking mostly 70s, but some 80s Kiss the last few months and remembered how much I love it. Thanks to the show, guys, for making me realize how much I love and sometimes hate this band. One more thing. I always find it so erotic how serious fans take such an unserious band. This isn't U2 or Rage. It's fun party music. People go away too crazy on lineups and members. Who fucking cares? If you like it, great. Enjoy. If you don't, shut the fuck up and move on. The Sean Delaney semen or blood comment almost made me piss my pants. Love the show, boys. Well, Pete, we always say this. If our show get someone to put on some music and enjoy something more, then that's the greatest compliment we can ever receive. And because you've said that, Pete Gibbons, you are comment of the week.
Good answer. I like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Yeah, Pete. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We love when people get a laugh and get some Kiss excitement when they hear the show. So thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And that's the biggest part about it. I mean, this is why we do it. We enjoy having these conversations. And if you pick up an album now because you like it, and these are things that people are always saying about podcasts to try to tell musicians and stuff that give a shit about playing their music or other stuff. Dude, we're promoting you. We're giving you attention. People are buying. How many people have bought things because they listen to this podcast or other Kiss podcasts? How many people went and bought a certain vinyl because everyone else is talking about it? I need to talk about it. I need to get it too. That's how it works. We're promoting you guys. And unfortunately, now there are still some that, you know, the Spotify or other shows can't play music, can't do shit. They get shut down. And it's bullshit.
That's right.
So
great point.
Anyway, that's that. And what we do next is we go over to Patreon and we give a shout out to our Patreon family. And we always have to thank any new members that we received. And as we usually do, we got a new member this week. And this week, we received a membership, a Catman membership to the great Roy Jordan, who's been commenting for a while with us. And Roy jumps in as a Catman. Roy, much appreciated. We appreciate you coming in and joining the Patreon family. And it is a family, and there's a lot going on right now in Patreon. Yes, we are doing a March Madness. It is coming out, and Patreon has already been a huge part of this. So they've got a lot of input on what we're doing. We're not telling you guys about it yet, but Patreon's been big. In addition to that, they're involved in our album review crew selection. In addition to that, they're part of our polls. They're part of our Flashback Friday. They get merchandise. And a lot of people just got a lot of merch out this week they should be receiving. So, guys, we want to make sure that you guys are enjoying your experience in Patreon. And we want all people out there that are thinking about helping the show, why it's worth it to jump in. In the meantime, too, we also put up the first video of the Ace interview, which we didn't put on the episode. It's Ace jumping in. And it's only like not even a minute.
Steve, what are you doing here?
And you can see our reaction with Ace doing his acisms and Tom and I just fucking cracking up and can't control ourselves. But and that's a sneak thing that we did just for Patreon members. We'll start to release these things later on to everybody, but Patreon gets them first. Yep. And again, Patreon people, come join the fun. Help the show out. You ask how you can help us keep the show growing, keep the show going as well. Join our Patreon family. You can go to the website, shoutitoutloudcast.com, right on the landing page. You'll say Patreon. Click on that. Find a tier that you fit, that fits your needs, and join in the fun. You won't regret it, and we appreciate it, and thank you to all the members, especially Roy this time. And come join the fun, Patreon.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Thank you so much, Roy. Appreciate you becoming a patron and love your interaction on Loudcasters. That's the kind of stuff we love to see. And as Zoo said, tons of great things coming down the line. Album review crew interaction, March Madness interaction, sneak peeks, Flashback Friday. Now, as Zeus mentioned, we're going to start dropping video clips, which is something that we've never done before anywhere. So please check us out. Go to our website, click on the link, download the app, search for us. You won't be disappointed. There's multiple tiers to choose from. So please check us out.
Yeah. And Patreon has never been bigger. So
yep,
come join the fun.
Yep.
Tom, let's skip on over to Kiss World and find out if there's anything going on over there.
Yeah, so last week, Gene Simmons from Kiss did a Facebook Live question and answer type thing. We love Gene. I'm sorry. I mean, I will just fanboy out all the time for Gene. You know, they were pre-picked questions, of course, because, you know, he's not going to answer stupid shit. But it was fun. You know, it was good just to see Gene out there, and that's how I took it. I didn't really care what the questions were. I didn't really care what his answers were. All I care about is that Gene is out there. Okay. We say this all the time. Sorry if this frustrates or annoys you. Paul Stanley would never fucking ever do a Facebook Live ever, ever. And the fact that Gene does it now, he's not going away. His band's touring in Europe. He's doing Facebook Lives. I loved it.
Yeah. The other thing is I saw that Tommy got himself a new car. Looks like he's enjoying semi-retirement. Going around having fun. I guess the bread line isn't so bad after all.
Pretty good bread. Yep.
Yeah. And then finally, our friends over at Quarantine.
Yes.
Released some tour dates.
Yep.
Three shows they're going to do. Maybe we might be able to catch the one in Pennsylvania, Tom. What do you think?
And the single that they're releasing is a song we both love.
Yep. And that is Good Girl Gone Bad.
Fucking awesome. That's all coming soon. Check them out on their social media. We shared it on Facebook. So check them out. Quarantine, that stuff's going to be awesome. They never disappoint whenever they drop these singles. So good for them. Love to see them back at it.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
So not so much news things, but our friend there, Joey Quesada.
I know Joey Quesada.
Was told me, he told people on his show that about the whole story that he had. And I wanted to kind of give you guys a little sneak peek behind it. So the whole Ace munching on cashews, it didn't come out of left field. It wasn't like the couple slices of Roni and fucking diet slice, whatever, mellow yellow, whatever we said he drinks. He actually was like late to a rehearsal once. Joey had told me the story, and he crashed his Bentley in a fucking CVS parking lot. And they're like, where the fuck are you? What's taking you so long? He's like, well, I thought the rehearsal was going to go a little late, so I wanted to get some snacks. So I went to go pick up some cashews. So truth is stranger than fiction. And because Joey finally said this story, I'm like, okay, now I can tell people where that came from. And I thought you guys would get a kick out of that.
Oh, yeah. But the fact that cashews are a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Good stuff. So, good stuff.
Anyways, let's take a quick break. I'm going to have Asa pick up some more snacks along the way. I'm going to go pick up a bag of Chips Ahoy chocolate chips. I used to love dipping those in my chocolate milk when I was a young kid. Sometimes you would give me the runs and the bed sheets would be, I don't know if it was chocolate milk or something else, liquidy brown, but it wasn't a pretty sight.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, we're back. And it was funny because after Ace picked up the Chips Ahoy, he was asking for Nutter Butters. He was a big fan of those. So I don't want to know why he likes those. I think he said he likes something about the way they're shaped, but we'll talk about that another time.
Tom, another great snack for the next time I got a rehearsal going is those Andy Cap pup fries. You ever have those?
Andy Cap, great comic. I used to take the silly putty, roll it on the newspaper, peel it back. It's like magic tricks.
Those pup fries would be great, but I'd get them all over my Les Pauls when they were all sticking to my fingers.
Stupid. We can't
do an intro to somebody without embarrassing us.
No. Every time I always say, I'm like, poor Amit. But believe me, there's no poor Amit when you hear this episode.
Yes, yes. And by the way, if you guys will get it when you listen to the episode of Tom's coming soon. People are like, I don't get it. What's this about? Please tell me you're not doing another Europe fucking album review. It's a whole little story I had to ask him. I'm like,
yep.
It was bugging me. I'm like, I always want to know, is Frank Zappa Greek or Italian?
Yep. Because
I've seen it in different areas. And Amit gives a funny reply back. And it comes in the beginning of the show. Before we taped, I asked him. He said, oh, why are you doing it? Tell me on the show. And then it comes up towards the end. You'll hear it, guys.
Yep.
Without further ado, though, the great Amit Zappa.
All right, so this week we have quite the special guest. He is a man of all trades. He's a writer, he's a director, he's a musician. He's the host of Rock Tales. And the biggest thing for us is he's a super Kiss nerd.
Oh, yeah.
And he's here to have all kinds of loud fun with us. The great Amit Zappa is here. What's up, buddy?
It is a pleasure to be in the presence of fellow Kiss Army members.
Yes,
truly.
Exactly.
I have to say, most people, I don't know why I feel like I got to do this disclaimer. I don't know if you guys feel like you do too.
Go ahead.
When I said, no, my favorite band is Kiss.
Yeah.
And people are like, for real? I'm like, yeah, fucking for real.
Yep.
And I don't know what that is, right? And in certain circles, you know, they're like, well, they're not better than the Stones. They're not better than, you know, the Beatles. They're not better than you name your whatever that person's favorite band is. And fuck you is my answer. Kiss is my favorite band. Now, you don't have to like it or agree with it, but it ticks the box. And I think about it all the time. And they are my favorite band. I listen to them the most. I get excited when I never turn off any Kiss track when it's playing. And I can't say that that's the truth for other bands I love. I equally love the Beatles and, you know, and Led Zeppelin and you name it. But, you know, so, yeah. So happy to talk with you guys about all things Kiss and, you know, just enjoy an adult beverage. Just before we started, I poured myself two fingers worth of some of this Michter's. Enjoy.
There you go. Well, but you're so right, though. I where I work, we always talk about music. And when people hear that your favorite band is Kiss, you're almost like a boxer, like in a corner. You're ready. You're ready to shield the blows of people chuckling, like just kind of be like, ah, like. Wait, those guys? Like you, the band with the makeup? Like those guys? I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. Now I have to explain. Like, and the people that do, oh yeah, I like rock and roll all night. Oh, I like Beth. I'm like, forget it. This conversation's over.
Yeah, look, it's one of those situations where most people, or I don't want to say most people. I don't even want to. I hate this disclaimer thing. Like I have to explain why Kiss is awesome.
Exactly.
Maybe some people know Kiss because of the makeup and they know their visuals and maybe not necessarily their music. That's fine. You know, mm-hmm. I'm fine with that too. Whatever part of Kiss you like, great. We have something in common, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll take it. But genuinely, you know, I have to say I love. I love so much of their music, all of their music. It's been a part of my life, you know, for my entire life. I'm turning 50 this year and they have been a part of my life since I've been born. I mean, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zeus. Yeah. So what I was going to say is we were talking a little bit earlier and, your background, obviously the son of Frank Zappa, to me, your dad is the complete opposite. I don't know anybody that doesn't bow down and say, Frank Zappa, that guy's a genius. And he's a critic darling. At least I feel like he is. And then Frank Zappa's son is a big Kiss fan. It almost like boggles the mind because I wouldn't expect it. I would expect you to be on one of those people like, oh, Kiss is silly. Listen to, ELO or whatever the fuck critics like, but it's
I mean, look, I love ELO too. I mean, I nothing wrong with ELO. you know, my father, you know, in the comparison, it's just a different lane. You know what I mean? Different styles of music. And I think, you know, again, for me, other debates I try to have is who is the real lead singer of Kiss, right? I think it's Gene.
That's a great debate.
Hey, come on. That's a great debate.
Look, I know Paul is the front man, you know. I guess, but I want to know how to make taco meat. I want to know. I mean, but I guess for me, I love Paul so much, but I often go track by track and think about, okay, how many Kiss songs are, you know, are, do I have more favorite Gene songs or more favorite Paul songs? And, you know, I mean, Paul has an amazing big giant voice. And then there's just, I just find myself loving even tracks that Kiss fans are like, wait, you really love that song? I'm like, yeah, Great Expectations, top 10 of tracks I love. It's fucking awesome. You know,
yep. Look at Tom bullshit nodding his head. Come on. Why don't you tell him what you really think?
I'm nodding my head because Great Expectations is terrible.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's
not. This is where I prison shank you. I was I listen to your show. I know I bring this up because even in the last episode, you anecdotally like say Great Expectations is a throwaway of like, you know, if I'm remembering correctly. But no, you're stupid and you're wrong because Great Expectations is awesome.
I love the maturity level.
But the reason I was nodding my head is because we all have songs that we love that most Kiss fans like.
Yeah.
Like Bang Bang You. Yeah, the song's fucking stupid as shit, but it's entertaining and I find myself singing along with it.
But is there and I don't even like being negative about a single Kiss song, right?
Well, when we're negative, we're having fun with the negative.
No, I understand that. Okay, I understand that. But I'm trying to just be on the positive tip across everything, where I'm like 2050. I'm like, okay, is it, you know, am I taking away from anything, right? Because, you know, like I want to be positive all the time, right? Room Service.
Is the
lyrical content of Room Service, which I do talk about. I have to, and I like the song, but sometimes I'm like, I mean, really? Like, I mean, there's so many awesome, the melody's great, the vibe is great, but really, I'm a lucky guy. I hardly ever cry.
Baby, I could use a meal. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. You can
do what get you him a feel. Room service.
See?
PETA kills it on that fucking song.
PETA crushes it on Dress to Kill. Oh,
I think he's fantastic.
So good. So good.
Yeah. Hey, what we normally do when we have a great guest like yourself, we ask them these questions. They're called Murph questions. And just five quick questions about Kiss to get to know you a little bit better. Now,
sure. I'm going
to
fail all this. This is now the pressure's on. Hold on. Let me have a sip.
Take a sip.
I think I know what the first answer is, and that is your favorite Kiss member.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's like Sophie's choice. It's always going to be between Gene and Paul.
Okay.
But Gene, it's like when I say who's the real singer of Kiss, you know, I'm, you know, it's what it means to me. So Gene, just visually, like the character that he plays, his stage antics, are just kind of like that. He's kind of like the villainy dude in the band. He's my guy, but then I fucking have, I hate even saying that because, you know, Paul is, he's fucking Star Child, and who doesn't want to be Star Child? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's tough to pick.
It's tough. Right.
Yep.
It's tough.
Yep.
So no, but it's to answer you. It's Gene. But do you guys talk about, as one of the questions, not to get ahead of myself, do you order, because there is a right answer and a wrong answer to, like, out of the solo records, what order are they in terms of better to worse?
Oh yeah, we did a whole episode. We reviewed all and then did a whole episode. We drafted our favorite song. Yeah, there's a right order.
Because I my order, not that you were asking, but I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
I think, God, it's tough.
No, it isn't.
I think it is. Oh, fuck, man.
Say it.
For today, I think it's Ace. Nah, see, look at the reaction now. I feel like what I was going to say is Gene, Ace, Paul, and then Peter Criss. Peter Criss is unlistenable.
Wait. Hold on. Now we're going to veer off course here. Paul third?
Yeah. Oof. I think I love Gene's solo record. I love that he does too. Weird shit on it, right?
Me too. I love that album.
But the reason why I didn't say Gene and when I went with Ace is, do you know how often I put on New York Groove? And that's why it just tips it as my more listened to record. And then I love all of his solos. I just love his groove. So, you know, there's that. But yeah, what do you think the right answers are? I'm curious.
I was just going to say that you just picked another song that Tom really loves, and that's New York Groove.
It's overplayed. I don't need to hear it ever again.
But here's the thing, right? It's fucking awesome. It's overplayed because it's fucking awesome.
We have that debate about fatigue factor, and the reason that there's fatigue is because it's overplayed. But Rip It Out is probably the greatest song out of all four solo albums.
Yeah.
No, right. Zeus and I, we wave the flag.
So is Paul. Ace your favorite? Is that your number?
It's Paul by far for us. Because it's such a great, it's a Kiss album. Now, I know that you don't want that. Some people don't want that from the solo albums. They want solo albums.
Well, I want Kiss all the time.
I just think there's so much fantastic stuff on there. And then I would probably put, Zeus, you finish it off.
All right, so it goes like this. It's Paul, Peter for me, Ace, Gene.
Holy shitballs.
Peter's album is awesome.
Love it.
You guys okay? Have you lost your freaking Kiss mind?
It's not a Kiss album. It's a good album.
I knew this positivity wasn't going to last, Ahmed. I knew it. Now you're already insulting us. I knew it.
No, I'm being an absolute hypocrite. I just, you know what?
This is what Kiss does to us. It ruins us.
Solo album is just perfect for him. It's not a Kiss album. It's good. It's a good album. And he sings the type of songs that work for him. That's how I look at it.
Just for your audience to know,
go ahead.
I don't go to Vegas very often, but I went out of my way. When I was in Vegas to absolutely go play Kiss Miniature Golf. That was my number one priority when I was there. I love that they moved a lot of the Gene's, you know, memorabilia and all of those things.
Yep, we were out there last May. Yep.
Yeah. By the way.
Awesome.
Did I win? Yeah. Am I being braggadocious about it? Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Perfect.
I just think Ace's album is just so horrendously overrated. It's not bad, but it annoys me how people just dismiss every other solo album because of Ace.
I feel like we started off as Kiss friends.
But this is why
now this is like our friendship is in the balance right now. Maybe I'll forget that you said that if I drink more.
Just have another sip. You'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Zeus is going to keep going with the questions.
Yeah, give me more Murphs.
All right. So how about Kiss song? And it can be growing up, it could be right now as of today. What's your favorite Kiss song?
Oh, you'll hate this answer too, but I mean, you know, it's
easy as it seems. Come on, what are you gonna give me, something terrible?
No, I mean, I Was Made for Loving You. It's the fucking greatest thing of all time.
I'm actually more shocked because it's a great song. Fatigue, you know, overplayed, but I'm surprised that's your go-to song. Why?
Right now, because my son, who is 8, loves it.
That works.
You know, because passing down the Kiss infection, right?
That's so awesome.
But she has got to be the greatest fucking group. And this is, you know, like, do you not, can you not bow down to the absolute fucking majesty of the song She? So it's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
It's so hard to pick, but
of course,
I Was Made for Loving You. There's no fucking way you turn that off. I love that it's like a disco-y kind of a groove. Mm-hmm. I think they do really interesting things from a song perspective that, I love all that.
Oh, did you just do a Paul Stanley shoulder move?
Just did a little shoulder shimmy.
Yeah. No. What size disco shoes you wear? I want to know, have you ever done cocaine of a disco ball?
You know?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, we had Desmond on not too long ago talking all about breaking it down and telling us how it really changed music, because he had a disco kind of beat, but with guitars, and they weren't doing it with guitars. And he really went into great details about it and made me think a little bit harder about what a great song it is.
If someone decided to do like a rock disco record now, that would be killer.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's why as much as I love that Dynasty version, I love the version on Alive 3. Because it's like, it's heavy, it's stomping, it's real bass and drum heavy, and we talk about this before. It's like, that's how you can know if a song is good, whether it's unplugged, live, studio. If it sounds good, it's good. And I think I Was Made for Loving You is a great song.
Were you guys on the last Kiss Cruise or no?
Yep. Last two.
So this is weird that because we were there, and I didn't get to know you guys on the Kiss Cruise.
You didn't use the bathroom near the buffet, did you?
Oh, don't get into this story. He loves to tell this story.
Oh, Ahmet's
reaching for another drink. Keep going, Ahmet.
Yeah, let me tell you something. The thing that I found really enjoyable, besides the music and the experience on the Kiss Cruise.
Yep.
I do have to say, you know, you hear Gene and Paul and everyone talk about the fans really, you know, make the experience. They talk about it at all their shows and their interviews. And you know, sometimes you kind of feel like artists maybe just say that, right? Mm-hmm. But the weird thing is when you go to a show, normally you're like, okay, cool, there's a bunch of people at the show. I'm more annoyed that, oh, I got to get out of the show and, you know, I want to get back to the parking and all of that. But it's like a totally different mindset when you're on a Kiss Cruise.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
Actually just here with other people where we share something in common. And I don't know why I don't think about that when I'm going to any kind of a concert. Like, they bought a ticket, they're there, they must love the band, right? But again, totally different mindset. So spending that much time with people that love the same thing, it was one of the more surprisingly enjoyable moments in my life, right? Getting to know people where they, you know, like, I don't know. There's like, it was like a magic trick that happened.
I think it's different. I think it's different on the cruise than a regular cause. To go on the cruise is such a commitment, a financial commitment, a time. So you know that the people that are there are, as opposed to somebody that just is like, oh yeah, I'll go see this band, I like a few of their songs, I'll buy a ticket and I'll go home.
Yeah, I was fucking pissed. I didn't get all of the cups. I didn't get all the specialty cups.
I got all five.
I shit the bed and didn't get all the fucking cups, and I'm pissed.
I think I may have a spare set.
I think you do, out. Zeus. I think you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why do I have one for you? Why do I need them?
Because you're a Kiss fan.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You call them a fan, but you know.
The same reason why you need a $1,500 diamond studded Kiss banner hanging behind you.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Kiss Cruise is just something different. The people there, you have fun. You can be sitting by yourself hanging out and then have a big debate about Gene's cod pieces with people that know exactly what era that cod piece is from and don't fuck with them.
Like, well, you know, I did meet one, like, coincidentally they were German. So I'm saying a German douchebag, not to say all Germans are douchebags. That's not my point, but this was a a German fellow, and it was loud, and I could have his accent wrong, but I didn't understand. There's like a, there's an area where they would do the live shows up on the top of the boat, open air stage.
Yep.
And there's like a bench area, right?
Yep.
And so I stood on the bench, and then like someone taps me on the fucking back.
Can't do that.
Like, it's like, you had to, you know, please, you know, sit down. And I was like, why, what's going on? And they're like, this must be your first experience.
Oh, what a condescending prick.
Right? Nice. So yeah. I met the number one condescending German Kiss fan who was like, shame on you.
Not shame.
The boat etiquette.
Yeah, you don't know the rules.
And that was the only weird. And I was like, okay, my bad. But that it kind of felt like it was getting aggressive. That was one of the only bad experiences. And the only other thing that I thought was odd was the Don Dokken Sherpa that was making sure that he could get from A to B without, I don't know, drinking another bottle of vodka or whatever he was on. Like, I think he was having a hard time. You know, did you notice that? Did you see that?
Wait a minute. So you must have been on boat one.
Yeah, there were two
cruises. That's why we didn't see you.
That's why we didn't see you.
We were on the second cruise. That was the first one that they set up. And then they realized, shit, we can make a lot of money. Fuck it. Get a second boat. And that second boat is what you went on.
That's right. So Dokken wasn't on our boat.
But it came. Your boat went first.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because you were on the cruise with like number one Kiss fan extraordinaire. And I'll give it to him. I think Sebastian Bach. He made it this time.
He made it this time. The first time he had trouble, clearing customs
or forgetting his passport or whatever it was.
Yeah, I was kind of bummed out. I was in. I had the opportunity to go on the. I wasn't even remotely planning on going in the second week, but then I was like, hey, do you maybe you want to stay? And I did think like, I absolutely could do this again with the nice folks that I met on the cruise. And a lot of, this is not me shamelessly plugging,
go ahead.
This other show that we do called Rocktails, but a lot of people that, I met on the cruise are really kind and generous and pay attention to what we do on our show. And I feel like I've made good friends. And we went to, an event that Eddie Trunk, it was honoring him and his kind of career in music.
The 40th anniversary. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And so I attended that. It was fucking awesome. It was an amazing night of music. And, again, a lot of the people that showed up on the Kiss cruise, I was like, wow, it's like, it's a really awesome metal community, totally. I really appreciate, because I feel like the love of the stuff that we grew up listening to that still it made such an impact on our lives. I don't know if we're such loyal fans to that genre of music, and I can't think of another. You might like a band a lot, but in terms of a genre, back me up on this if you agree. In terms of metal and what Kiss means and other bands that either have certain iconography I feel like we're the more passionate people that love a good rock tea more than anyone else. You know what I mean?
Totally. Oh, I co-sign on that one for sure.
There are more Kiss podcasts out there than any other fucking podcast out there in music.
And all they do is bitch about the band.
But for a reason. By the way, did you run into Ace? Were you at Eddie's thing? Did you say hi to him?
I didn't. I've actually, I haven't met Ace, and I've seen him plenty of times solo. I saw him play at the Greek. I saw him play. The best show I saw him perform at was, my memory is fucked after the pandemic. I don't know if it happened before or after. I think it was before. He played at the Canyon Club, which is a smaller venue. And that show was awesome. He was so on it and.
That must have been a long time ago then.
Yeah, I don't want to be disparaging. I think I'll just say this. The difference between the Canyon Club show, which was, I think, right before he started publicly. I know they always have disputes.
Yeah.
Yep. Really, before he started getting into things with the band, with Ace and his girlfriend and all that. So that's probably before the pandemic. I don't like any of that, you know, mishigas between the band members. And I don't think we'll ever truly, we can all speculate, but what happened between them, look, we can be disappointed as fans. So I want them to, when they got together and decided to play again in makeup, that was like a holy shit factor. That's the most amount of money I've ever spent on tickets. One of the first shows here in LA. Where I was like, no, I need the tickets.
That's right.
Yeah. That was like seeing Firehouse, you know, when the lights went down and the fucking sirens like, it's happening. It's fucking happening. Right. And I, by the way, I didn't have any friends at that time that like Kiss as much as I do. So they're like, this is cool. And I'm grateful that, my dear friend, Tricky Dicky, yeah, he appreciates Kiss as much as I do. It's and so does, you know, Brando. These are the guys I go see my shows with. Yep. We have similar music tastes. There's very few that we kind of don't see eye to eye on. Like, you know, they have like Richard likes Counting Crows, which I don't want Counting Crows poisoning. I can't do it. And then, you know, Brando, he might be for my pain tolerance on not to be disparaging towards Chicago, great band, but I can't, you know.
I had the most fun listening to you give him shit on that episode you did recently about the 50th anniversary of the debut and talking about Chicago.
I think he was like testing Gene, or Gene was testing him, and all of a sudden he's throwing out Chicago fucking.
Oh, you're talking about Pardo? Yeah, Jimmy Pardo.
What the fuck?
That episode was friggin' hilarious.
What is the name of the original band Chicago?
Yeah. for your listeners who may not know, like I was fortunate enough to have Gene pop on and one of our in studio guests on our show Rock Tales that we do. The comedian extraordinaire, super music fan, and I don't know why because it's all bullshit. I mean, when the show's done, you know, I have zero fucks to give. I mean, I, you know, Chicago's an amazing band, but then if you try to talk about it too much, then I'm, you know, it's certainly in comparison to Kiss. I'm like, there's no fucking comparison. You cannot tell me that Chicago is a better band than Kiss. And I'm like looking at Pardo, who is a massive Kiss fan. And, you know, so we got into it and then they just fucking set me off. And, you know, I'm not going to blame the go-go juice that I'm having right now on making me slightly more, you know, fucking cobra fanging coming out, but whatevs. You know,
my favorite part of that episode, I'm not going to spoil anything.
Well, we put it on our website. Everyone's talking about it. It's a great episode. Check it out.
Yeah, I guess I will spoil a little bit, but I love how when Gene called, maybe about half of the episode was him trying to sell, go to GeneSimmonsEvents.com. Yeah. Like, what? Can we talk about
players got to play. You got to respect it.
It's so funny, like, just because we know Gene and he just never misses a window to like, and it just made me laugh. But but that's why I love Gene. That's why he's
hold on. Let me get the actual website. I'll even do a plug for Gene. Let me text
GeneSimmonsEvents.com.
Gene Simmons Recording Studio Events.com. Easy to remember. So like, you know, I just need to say it once and you got it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, last May, we went out to Vegas. It wasn't for that event. It was the dinner with Gene Simmons weekend out in Vegas. We spent the whole weekend with him. It was fantastic.
And honestly, we did the cruise. We did New York City, the last two shows. We did all
Rangers
that.
Fest.
Our favorite event of all that is still the Gene event in Vegas. We had more fun at that than anything.
Oh, yeah.
And did you guys get the Creatures of the Night box set? I can't see it in the background.
Yeah, we got it.
I have the CDs. He's a vinyl guy. I'm not.
Yeah, but I got that too, though.
I love the vinyl. I think that's like so.
Did you buy the $1,000 vinyl that just came out?
They re-released the Creatures box set on glow in the dark vinyl for $1,000. Look at his face.
I thought you meant the actual. Maybe I don't know if I think it's been announced, but maybe not. Maybe I might know it some inside situation.
Spill it.
I love the box sets. I love everything that they've been doing. I think they've really elevated the game, and I do know some of the folks pretty well that work on the materials. Mm-hmm. And I'm always, you know, when you dig in, I do it on the stuff that we put out for around my dad, right? Yep. It's fun being kind of like a music archaeologist. And I think like every estate or band that's been around for a long time, they all have like the guy mm-hmm. or the gal who knows everything about everything. That's a really great resource. And I have to say the team at Kiss, I think they're consistent with knowing what us fans want and like the little details and all of that. I was genuinely surprised, on the kind of the new merch. I can't tell you how excited I am for my hoodie,
my hoodie.
I told you everything on that. Cause for your audience, if they care about it, the last Kiss episode that we did, that shopping experience, I was like, was no awesome. One wants, I'm drunk. I'm putting my credit card down for all of this stuff. Who wants something?
We bought most of it. We bought most of the shit too. I bought the picture disc with the fucking.
But then we bitched
over
the
jacket, friggin' chachi fucking jacket there, the thing that comes with it.
Satin fucking jacket with the embroidery from all of them on the back is fucking killer.
I can't wait to wear that to work and get killed.
Yeah. I'm legitimately thinking. I don't, you know, like I'm pretty, you know, I'm not a guy who really wears a lot of logo shirts and stuff. I'll wear, you know, if I'm, it's a rarity, but
okay.
I got to tell you the fact that it's 50 years of Kiss and it's like my early music, I lived with it my life. Right. Yeah. I see that satin jacket and I think to myself, anytime I was in a vintage store, I'm like, oh, this like, best little whorehouse in Texas satin jacket. That was the tour jacket. Like that's super cool. So then I started like buying like these satin jackets that I never kind of got in the moment. These secondhand, I became a collector of that weird shit. I don't know why. Really? Like my Mork and Mindy satin jacket when they wrapped season 2. You know what I mean? Shit like that. That's all like things from my childhood. I like have all of that. Is it all in storage? Have I ever worn it? No, but. The Kiss jacket, I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna legitimately rock my Batwing fucking hoodie.
I know you are.
And that satin jacket, I think it's, you know, unironically, I will wear this shit, is my point. So fuck you if you're not a Kiss fan, and fuck you if you judge me for being a Kiss fan and for proudly displaying the fact that, you know, I love it. And with the power of AI, we can do, are you a Kiss fan? Thumbs up. Is it going to work? There it is.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Shit. I almost forgot. Question number 3.
Give me a Murph dog question, please.
This is the question that I always look forward to. This is my favorite one.
Favorite album.
Oh man.
And again, it could be growing up.
It
could
don't give him an out. Name it and own it.
Honestly,
the Elder.
No, it's not the Elder. You know, that's the thing that it's like I say to myself when I'm much, much older, I'm going to take up golf. That's how I feel about the Elder.
It's awesome.
Right.
You're missing out. You know? You're missing out.
Oh, awesome. Tricky Dicky. What's up? Tricky Dicky just showed up. Nice. You know, I think I might contradict. I know we talked about this. I sent you, you know, some materials. You already know my answer, probably. I think I told you. But what the thing that popped in my mind was Dynasty. I you know.
Perfect. Love it.
That's number 2 for me.
Yeah. That's number 2 for me, too. I love it. That's a great album.
But it's like, have you changed your mind around some of this stuff over time or no?
Yes. Yeah,
yeah. Doing this show, we change our mind.
Yeah,
we'll do an album. We'll do like 4 album reviews every year. Then we really get into the album, listen to it, break the tracks, and then you start putting them. Okay, where are you going to put this track? I like this song better than this. Then I like this song. Then you're like, I like all these songs better than the songs on Love Gun, so I must love this album more. And then your mind changes after a while.
And Psycho Circus is a record that I think has gotten, like, for me, I was like, I was not so, because, you know, they came back out as a band in makeup, and then they came out with, you know, Psycho Circus, and I was like, okay, it's going to be awesome. And I was like, and I have to say, and I know they play Psycho Circus in, you know, at all their shows to kind of have that touch point and all of that. But I do go back and I listen with a different set of ears. This is my point. Does it rate in like my top 10 records? No. But when I think about what they're trying to do from a production standpoint, or, you know, the guitar solos or whatever, it's the same thing I think about with The Elder. Like I have to listen to it from like, what were they trying to do? And can I get with that? Right.
Yep.
And that's the other weird thing, because they have so many records. It's just awesome to be able to debate it. I'm sure maybe you could do it with the Stones or
but Kiss is different. Kiss is different because you have so many different styles. Yeah. Oh, remember the hair metal style? Oh, do you remember when they went really heavy, almost thrash like on Animal Eyes, Lick It Up? And then you start going backwards. You're like, oh, that's classic rock. And then they got into their grunge album.
Is a killer record. You know, that was like a sweet spot too for me, my age. I don't know how old you guys are, and I know
we're 1 year older. So
we're talking
about turning 50. Let me tell you,
we're going to be 51.
Nothing's going to change. We both turned 50. It's all the same.
It's all the same. Only the ages change every day.
Oh, keep going. There you go. Where do you stand on the non-makeup, the '80s stuff? Are you like us, where you love everything?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, I was like No Retreat, No Surrender. I was like, Gene Simmons in drag and in this weird, is that what he was going for? Yeah, I love that fucking movie, right? Yeah. I was like, that's fucking awesome. Gene's in that movie. He looks weird. Like, I didn't get it when I was a kid.
Right.
Right. And then Runaway. Honestly, those movies bridge the gap. This is why I'm a Gene guy, right? I think that he was involved with other things that kind of made me love him more. And him exploring his acting career brought me to the other side of them without makeup for some reason. I don't know. That just was like, oh, that's cool.
He's so genuine. He's so amazing. What I like, here's a great story you guys are saying on your show. Which one of you guys was telling the story that they ran up to Gene and like, hey, Gene, I've got an idea. Would you like to
come?
He's like, Gene's like, no. Most people will bullshit you and tell you I'll keep your card. I'm telling you straight up, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Like, no, I've had experiences with Gene. I've also run into him more often. I could not say that if I saw Paul, he'd be like, hey, good to see you.
He won't do that.
Not at all. I mean, like, I'm not in his even remotely in his consciousness, right?
Yeah.
But there is a part of me that thinks, if I email Gene, and I seldom do, the point is, after every show, he doesn't have to fucking care, but I'll tell you honestly, during a show, I'm like, man, fucking awesome performance in this. I'll just give him like my genuine feedback. And he's like emailing me like right after a show or and that to me is really meaningful. And I talked about this, when we had him on, at one point he asked me to, work with him on Tongue magazine.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, there is no fucking way. I'd be too, A, he's like a hero of mine. And then B, there's like, he would not be a hero of mine if I ever did that fucking job.
Probably a good decision.
Yeah.
Now, how many times would you think you've seen Kiss live?
More than any other band? I don't know.
20, 30, 50? How many times you
think? No, not 50. Okay. And not even 30. Okay. I mean, we're probably like 12 to 15 times. I really don't go to too many shows. I mean, anytime they're in LA, right? Yep. That was kind of a thing.
What was your first show? You remember?
My first show was when they all got back in with the
it was the 96 yeah. the reunion.
We did the reunion yeah. too. That was my first
okay.
show.
Okay.
Yeah. In Boston. Yeah.
Yeah. And not because I didn't want to see them before. It was not always the easiest in how I grew up.
Right.
You know, there weren't a lot of friends that I had that wanted to go to shows, and unless my older sister or older brother wanted to see a show, that would have been maybe the only way to kind of get me there. Cause you know, my parents, my dad didn't drive, you know, yep. and my mother never took me to a show. Right. So it always had to be organized of like who could supervise minors, right.
right.
At a gig.
Yeah.
But I think besides my dad's music, not that you're asking, but
no, please tell. Go
the Diver Down tour. I went with my brother, nice. And I think my older sister, and I just remember it was so loud, and there was some guy behind me the entire time that kept hitting me and hitting the chair because he's like, you know, zooted to the gills,
yeah,
and drunk and all of that, and somehow through all of that, because you can only do this if you're 7 or 8. Right.
Yep.
I fell asleep at the show. And yep. then they dragged me backstage. And, you know, David Lee Roth was like, hey, man, you want a bump? And he had like a fucking Jack Daniels bottle of Jack Daniels. I'm like, no. And I was like, why? But, so I've had like some kind of fun moments like that. And now in retrospect, as I'm drinking Michter's on your show, I'm like, you know what? Maybe as a 7-year-old, maybe I should have had from Dave's Jack Daniel.
Sure.
yeah, right.
It is a story. Now, another great story, and I'm going to get to the last question afterwards.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that this might be the answer to the question. And that mm-hmm. is, I fucking love Black Tongue.
Oh, me too. I love that. I like that album.
That
I'm gonna tell you
song
right now.
Mm-hmm. is so underrated.
Agreed.
It is so unique. It's catchy as all fuck. And all you guys are in there, including your late father, singing parts of
yep.
it.
And my mom, too, is in there.
Yeah. And your brothers and sisters. Tell the people how that came to be, how you guys got involved on Black Tongue on Gene's Asshole. You like that?
Yeah, Black Tongue on Gene.
What a great phrasing of a
I
question.
Didn't mean to do it that
that
way.
Came out perfectly, Zoot. That's going to be a
tell
drop
about,
now.
Wait, why your tongue
tell us about Black Tongue
on
Gene's
asshole.
Yeah. Wow. I think we need to send that clip to Gene. I'll
I was
make
just
sure
going to say,
season.
Please clip that.
Thank you.
So I really don't have the details of how that came about, but I would see Gene in like weird places. I would see him at like frozen yogurt stands in studio.
Yeah. I like example, ice cream
in Los Angeles. I would run into him at different places, and I don't know if I instigated it or if he reached out or, Gene is someone who I really think is really interesting in this sense. You know, he used to carry, or maybe he still does, a little book. And he has really perfect handwriting, and he writes down all the little details, however that works for his reminders and all of those things. Like, you give me your number or emails. And he talked about on the show, I think one of the maybe regrets is that he didn't spend more time. I think he respected my dad and I think vice versa, you know, yeah. from a businessman perspective, they had a lot of similarities. My dad didn't drink, he didn't do drugs. I mean, he smoked like a chimney, but from I guess that perspective and being a businessman in the music business there. And Gene is super musical. I mean, you think about, I mean, they all are, but you know, I do stack Gene's bass playing up, and people can debate us, or
great
you might
point.
Want
I
to
agree
on this, that, you know, he He's an incredible player. And to do and to perform and sing and play what he's playing and to do all of that stuff. I mean, all of those guys are next level in terms of performance. And you know, fuck anybody again who wants to disagree with that. The, you know, what they accomplish night to night in a show. Yeah. I hate talking about like it's over, right? But what they, you know, what they did as a band, I can't think of other people. I mean, maybe the Stones. I mean, Mick Jagger is a fucking beast.
Yeah, he's not human though. Yeah, he doesn't count.
You know, but I think Paul Stanley is the same. You know what I mean? Like I'm the guy's like, oh look, he's planking and posting on social media.
He's in incredible shape.
He looks amazing. No,
it's bananas. So what's my point? I don't know what I was trying to say other than I don't know how it really came about. We had him up to the house. You know, I think maybe it was me running into him. Maybe that was the germ of the idea of was because he was saying, is there a solo? Is there a track? Because I think people were very familiar with the fact that, you know, my dad recorded everything and there's so much in the vault. And so many amazing projects that will be coming out if you are a fan of my dad's music that are on the horizon. But you know, the instinct was, hey, I never got to kind of play with him and do something. Is there a nugget, right? And we were like, yeah, let's fucking do it. And so the opening of the track, right, is a riff that my dad would kind of play, but that my brother is playing. And then, if memory serves, then there's part of my dad's kind of, you know, solo. Mm-hmm. So it's a real mashup of, you know, getting the timing right so that the instrumentation of the solos and all that stuff works.
Yeah.
And then it was really him. It wasn't us saying like, hey, we all want to sing on the song. It was a real family affair. We had him up and that kind of connection. And that's what I have to say about Gene. He might be polarizing to people, and opinionated, and all of those things are true. But I know him as someone who's all about his family. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and the idea to open up, like to have a shared experience, hey, come into the studio with me as a family. And it's a pretty menschy thing to do, but I think he was also creatively inspired and it was fun to, you know, I'd never done that with my whole family. That was a totally unique scenario and a real treat. And sometimes I forget that I played on one of Gene's records.
Yeah.
And then other times I remember, I'm like, I played on one of Gene's records.
That's
awesome. No, but there's parts of your dad playing on it. There's the beginning, Frank says, and as he says in the song. And then there's like, what is it here? I'm like, all right, kids, here's a real rock and roll song. I mean, that's fucking cool. Yeah. Like it, for you guys as a fam. And that's the thing about Gene. Like we said many times on the show, when we got to meet him and we had that dinner thing with him, you even spent 5-10 minutes. He made you feel like
you were the most important person in the room. Yeah.
I can't believe. Tell me what your innermost deepest thoughts are. And he just makes you feel so calm. He's so, and the word I call is endearing. He's so endearing that you can't help.
That's my experience.
That's my
with
favorite
him.
Member. That guy right there, because deep down he's got a great heart.
Well, and the whole family is nice. I can't honestly. My memory might be off. I don't think I've spent too much time with Gene's daughter. His son couldn't have been nicer and funnier. And these are very brief encounters. But Gene and his wife are, you know, they like, I've had some meetings at his house and he would invite people in and they were at the time in this particular home that he had. You know, he had this area where it was surrounded by a lot of that Kiss memorabilia that's now in the in Vegas.
Yep.
But you know, if you go around the corner, if you're invited, it's his home, and you know, we're hanging out, and you know, I got to he was always really nice to me. That's all I can say is I don't know if that's how he is with everyone. I like to think that I'm special. But
he made you feel special, and that's his gift. Sure. That's the gift that he has.
Yeah.
Now, the last question we have with the Murph thing is, and I don't know if that was it, but the whole recording of Asshole, but what is your favorite Kiss memory? If you're thinking like Kiss, what is your favorite thing that comes up? Is it seeing them for the first time in the reunion? Is it with your family playing on a Gene Simmons album? Or is it, you know, tag teaming some chick with Gene? I don't know, whatever you've done.
Yeah, no, no, it's not that. I honestly, I think watching Phantom of the Park has to be my favorite.
Wow.
Kiss, really?
I love it.
Moment. That was such a big event. I was freaking out the first time. And it was on TV, right? So I was like, OMG. And for me at that time, you know, I had to get on the Mego action figures. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like that to me was my Star Wars of music, you know?
Yep.
And it's super weird. I mean, I loved, I'm super visual. So when you watch it and you see, the Hanna-Barbera artifacts in the mad scientist lair, like on the shelves, I think you can see some like banana splits.
Yep.
And I love the connection to, you guys probably wouldn't know this, but if you watch the movie, they shot that some of it at Six Flags Magic Mountain in LA and a majority of it there. And so I love going back to that movie because I can remember the Six Flags characters that you just catch for a moment and how the park has changed. So it's like a really great kind of nostalgic moment to go back and watch it. But as a kid, it was such a big deal. And then second best, not that you're asking about my second best.
No, go ahead.
Your second best.
Yeah, please.
Well, it was seeing them live for the first time back in makeup. And it just made me.
Yeah.
It just made me fucking, be bummed that I didn't see them before. I mean, there was incredible shows, but if you go back and I talk about this too, I think, you know, personally that David Lee Roth must have been studying Paul, right? The kicks and the stage antics. Other people are like, David was like studying like Jim Dandy or something. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, Paul has such energy and the kicks and what he brought as a front man. Is there someone else that I'm missing that I don't know that jumped around and did as much as what Paul would do? Or even Gene in those fucking boots when he would do like jump up and down. I mean, if you go to Ozzy, Ozzy does that, right? I guess. But like, is he running around without that much energy? Their early shows, they play everything super fast, by the way, which I love. I love watching that. That was one of the other guilty pleasures of being on the Kiss cruise. And when you're in your room, for those of you who've never gone on one, they just cycle through.
Yeah.
All the Kiss videos. You don't even need to leave your room if you don't want to.
Yep.
It's like the concerts that you're seeing like back to back to back. I didn't want to leave often. You know, people, I would go say, yeah, I'll meet you for lunch. Yeah, what time? I'm like, no, I'm there's no reason for you to be late to lunch on the boat. I found myself watching all the shows and just I'm mesmerized by their career and the legacy that they're leaving behind and the amount of music and the performances. And, you know, you really can go from show to show to show. And even though you know these songs, they're bringing it in different ways, in so many ways. It's fucking epic, and I love that they have a vault. I love that we can get more gems from them in the future. I know that there's so much that we would all go crazy for. There always is.
I'll finish up with this, my last question, and thank you for your time so far. But when listening to your show, talking about the 50th anniversary of the debut, this is how I really knew how deep your Kiss passion went is when you it was one of the only other people besides Zeus and our friend Murph and some of the people we went to New York City with, the way that you described your feelings about the final shows, how it had how it had like a legitimate emotional impact on you.
Yeah. I found myself standing there like,
yes,
I am not alone. Right. Like I did tear. Richard was the same, you know, it really fucked me up. It was. And I stand by this. Yep. The Hollywood Bowl show was better than the Madison Square Garden shows.
Dude,
So that's what I was going to ask you. So we were at both Madison Square Garden shows. The very final show, we were second row floor. Okay, awesome. for the
dead
final
center.
Show.
I'm jealous.
Dead,
that's awesome.
Dead center. So the black curtain comes up, and right before it drops, I got so old. I was like, seriously, I got so overwhelmed. I looked to my left. I got one of my best friends. I looked to my right. I got my other best friend. And this is the band that I discovered when I was 5 years old. And now they're about to end it. And I don't think people really understand like how that affects. I think that's why people who are so passionate about music feel this way, is that this is it. Like, and I know people say it might not be it, but for me, for right now, this is it. And I don't know. I think you said you weren't in New York City for that. But what did you think of the final shows? The fact that they didn't really do anything to celebrate their career, and then of course the Avatars.
Okay, well let's try to unpack each one of those. So I was not in New York. I was.
You were watching the pay per view?
Yeah, I watched. Yeah, we watched it with sad eyes. But I also watched it through the lens of, you know, the banter at the Hollywood Bowl because they live here, right? Mm-hmm. As a local show, and the people that were there, it was so many, probably not dissimilar from you, like the people that you guys probably traveled with to the show, but at the bowl, it was. I mean, I went with my friends, but then I saw so many of my other friends that I know are Kiss fans. And that was really powerful and really just sad, right?
Yeah.
But because they're, you know, when they're in makeup, they're, you know, I don't think about their age. I don't think about any of that stuff. I forget. And then I marvel at like, oh my God, like they're doing stuff that's terrifying, flying over the audience, right, you know, going up and down. That shit's scary as hell. And crushing it like they're still in their, you know, in their, I don't want to say 20s, but 40s, right? You know, or like, you know what I mean? Like they're still so with it. And Gene talked about it. He's like, good to go out. When there's no accidents and like you can, and the, you know, on a high note. And, hopefully that answers your question. I don't know what you meant about New York, but then going to the Avatar, speaking to that, the organization that they're working with, I did go to the inaugural launch of the ABBA experience. I forgot exactly what it's called. Mm-hmm. The group that worked on that show.
Yep.
And, I was curious, I like ABBA. I like ABBA a lot. And it was fucking amazing. Now, do they look, you know, do they look like animated characters, avatars, whatever you want to say, however you want to describe, you know, a digital effigy of the band, whatever. There's something that's when it's programmed to a track, and yes, they have a live band because, you know, they're playing to a click, and having built some of these experiences and knowing how, what they're doing. If they do what they did for ABBA, I do not think in any way, shape or form, I think Kiss fans' minds will be fucking blown because they have more control because they basically build an amphitheater to support the show. So what does that mean? The lighting comes down all around you. You know, it's before the dome. It was like a, you know, how do you take advantage of before the Dome in Vegas, right? Like when the Sphere, the entire immersive experience of the Sphere, right?
Yep. Yep.
You know, at least in this room, in this context, you know, you're able to do like lasers and smoke and like other things that might be coordinated to, let's say, a KISS experience. They'll be able to do that and then some. And the difference when you're at a KISS show, and if you have a bad scene, they have the jumbotrons and all that. This is really about less about what's happening on the stage. And yes, that does happen. And you have the live band. It's more about the spectacle. So when you are designing it from that, point of view, I just think I view it like, oh, it's greater access, closer close-ups, and you know, the consistent magic happening, right? So I'm making this up, but you know, let's say you want to shoot a laser doing a guitar solo and have something explode, like those moments that we live for, right?
Yep.
That can happen on a much bigger scale, like a theme park, right? Like, holy fuck, that was awesome that happened.
Yeah.
That you have less control of moving a tour from venue to venue. So when you are in a singular space and you kind of own the theater for the time that the event is there, this is, to me, I'm really looking forward to it. Did I love the avatars, the kind of look and feel? No, I kind of would have gone back to, personally, I would have gone back to the beginning. I would have made them, look, they can be a million feet tall. You can do whatever the fuck you want with the screens and how you design it. But I kind of love the idea of like the Dress to Kill, super skinny fucking, you know, when they're all like really bean poly, not like necessarily in suits. I want all the fucking different costumes and all that stuff. But I,
you didn't want them looking like Marvel heroes, like all jacked up.
No, I think you can maybe get to that point. I know that they scan them. It's how they are now, but that's the whole point is you can de-age them. I would have leaned more into the characters of them than them. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. I agree. Good point. So real quick, I just want to circle back. So what I was talking about, New York City, the fact that people were wondering or hoping that there would be some kind of celebration of their career, bring up former members, show a video montage. The fact that they did nothing, and not only did nothing, but then said, thank you, good night. By the way, here's our avatars. See you later.
Yeah. You know, I bet you they tried. I bet you those are always the conversations. And I don't know this. I'm just speculating.
Yep.
Want to hear an interesting fact? Just ask for one if you do.
Google's talking to me. Google's listening to our podcast.
What the hell is that? I was like, what the heck is going on there?
Gene Simmons does not want you to answer that question.
Yeah. No, thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Google. Thank you. You know, omniscient AI that's tracking and cataloging everything that everyone says on the planet, Skynet. I'm sure that they tried. You know, I would have loved it if Ace came out, if Peter came out. That would have been a really great ending. But I think there's probably so much, so many challenges. Mm-hmm. And I do think if you look at how long they haven't been in the band.
Yeah.
And if you're going out on what, you know, I know Bruce, Mike, you know, he's fucking awesome. Like that might be like weird taking a backseat of like, okay, they're also in makeup. Like, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know what the decision making was. It would have been cool. I would have loved it. Of course, all of us at KISS fans.
We all would have loved. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the other thing too, right? You know, where's on the holograms, right? If you went just to characters, there's other characters they could have been utilizing, other makeup
box,
you know, they could have other personas,
yeah,
right, that are great for that kind of an experience. I think that they leaned into creating the current lineup of the band when, yes. You know what I mean? I don't think they, who knows, maybe that'll shift, but
maybe,
you know,
Zeus. Yeah.
So, by the way, Asshole is turning 20 this year.
It's crazy.
Somebody just posted that.
Gene's Asshole is turning 20 this year. But
he's, you know. Gene Simmons' Asshole with black tongue on it. He's turning 20. So I asked you something before we started, and it's off topic, and you said, "Oh, what are you? Wait for the show." I'm like, "Okay, great." So,
yeah,
the Zappa family. Okay,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always thought you guys were part Greek, and then I read somewhere or saw something recently. No, it's Italian. So you have a Greek and you have an Italian on the show. You answer it for me. Do you have either Italian in your background or Greek or both?
Well, let me just, since you're being overly personal and you want to know about my fucking DNA.
I do.
Yes, that's what we do.
Because if you're in my tribe, I'm going to brag about it. That's why.
And if you're in my tribe,
here. Yeah, I'm like, oh, great. We lost another one to the Italians.
Are you ready for the first time? This is an exclusive.
Oh,
okay.
Here is my ancestry report.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
My ancestry report.
Oh, shit. I have that thing too.
Yeah. All right.
Come on.
I am
from the planet Jandel.
Yeah, I am from the planet Dominatrix. I am 97.5% European.
Yes.
Right. Okay. 48.7%, right? Sicilian.
Oh, so you're Greek.
Okay. Oh, how dare you?
19.5% Spanish and Portuguese.
Oh,
okay. I am 0.9% Greek and Balkan. Okay. I am 10.4% broadly Southern European, whatever the fuck that means. 16.5% Northwestern European. 10.9% French and German. 1.4% Scandinavian, 1% British and Irish, and then broadly European, 3.2%. Eastern European is 1%. She's so European. I love that track.
That's what Zeus is saying.
Zeus loves that album.
I love it too.
I'm kidding. He hates it.
Well, you're a dumbass and fuck you.
Thank you.
1.3% Eastern European and then 0.2% broadly European. And now I'm 2.2% Western Asian and North African. So I don't know what the fuck that means. 2.2% Northwestern Asian and 2.2% Anatolian. So
you have pretty much.
I mean, like that's the longest fucking answer to your fucking personal DNA question, you fucking dick, Zeus.
So you answered my question. You. So
shame on you.
I still got nowhere from that. I got nowhere from that.
By the way, this has changed. I used to be when they first did it. They keep confabulating my DNA. But at one point, I was like, I am super Greek, and I have Cypriotic fluid dripping through my veins from Cyprus. Nope, that's no longer being talked about. I was at one point very Egyptian, and I'm no longer very Egyptian, which is disappointing.
How does that happen?
Because all those areas were once ruled by Greeks, and that's where you got all the Greek blood.
Enough.
That's why the Sicilian and the Egyptian and Eastern European and Anatolian, you have the Greek blood in you. That's what it is.
What he's saying is, regardless of your answer, he was going to try to tell everybody that you're Greek.
Yeah, I want the Zappa family to be Greek. Okay, we don't have many of us in the music industry. Let's take some credit.
Well, I do.
Michael and I can't think of who else.
Yorgo, Michaelis.
Yorgo,
Michaeli, George. Yeah. And he just changed it backwards, but I think he's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, you got that going for you.
I'm sure my father's done interviews where
I've seen it where they call them Italian, and I've seen them other places where they call Frank Zappa Greek. So, and things like that. But I was always curious. I wanted to get it from the horse's mouth.
Well, science, you mother Fletcher. Science, Zeus,
like
you on your own personal fucking, what is it, like Mount Olympus, Zeus? You're in your personal Mount Olympus, judging everyone with your fucking fancy first name.
Like this.
Fuck you, bro. Just because I'm not Greek, don't you fucking shame me. Don't you fucking highlight my jealousy that your name is Zeus.
I love how he thinks it's my real name.
It is his real name. No, I'm kidding. Not. Hey, Ahmed, before we let you go, man. Because we could keep you here for another 2 hours arguing about the ranking of the solo albums, but we won't.
And
the
Unmasked.
If there's people out there who don't know where to find you, please tell us what you're up to now, where they can find you. Tell us about Rock Tales and where they can watch that and listen to it.
Well, you know, thank you for asking. This will be my shameless self promoting.
Do it.
Look, I work with a lot of different music estates. I really am focused, you know, this is a very general answer to your question. Mm-hmm. I am a specialist in IP acceleration, right? Ooh, so if you are the son or daughter of or the widow of or a current artist and you need help, you know, I'm the guy you should come and talk to that will think about all of the ways that you can have a deeper connection to your fan base. I'm very sensitive to, you know, the authentic way that you can expand your revenue ecosystem and really kind of and communicate that with fans, right? So it still is the music business. So if you want to talk about the, you know, how to expand, you know, your business, I do know a thing or two about how to do that. I'm very methodical about putting a plan together with, you know, concrete action plans and on, you know, how to turn a business upside down, a business that's upside down, how to turn it around. And, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to do that for the bands I work with. So people, I think, will start to know more about the fact that I do that, but, I've worn many hats, done many things, you know, worked, you know, in it's brand management. I don't like the word management. That's why IP acceleration to me is more like, if you work with me, whether you have management or not, we come on or I come on and like, hey, this is the agenda. This is what we do. This is how I make money. And this is how you'll make money. And I, you know, do all that with transparency because I hate all that icky stuff of like, no, if I can't deliver, then you don't need to work with me. Like, then I'm not your guy. So I have a company called I Like You, and I Like You is my dad actually drew a heart that said, I like you. That was an inspiration. He gave me one years and years and years ago. And I started to ask myself, as I'm now turning 50, I have a choice of who I work with and how I want to work. And when I like something, it never feels like work. And I'm really passionate about Kiss. I'm passionate about other bands. And so I work really hard with bands and brands. And that takes up a lot of my time. But then I'm also a technologist and an inventor and I own a whole bunch of patents and sound and I do keep myself really, really busy. I hardly ever sleep. And you know, if my dad was a futurist, he was like, you, my son, are a mogul. And, you know, he very early on, and my mother too, invested in my ideas. And so I feel like that gave me the confidence and the platform, to, you know, go out and follow, my dreams and pursuits. Really, I want to build better tools for artists, to make a fair wage to, have a deeper connection to their fan base. And, you know, I'm all about, you know, having everyone win. I think people will start to know more about my personal beliefs and my journey and trying to help people. I'm very focused on doing that. I spend a lot of my time actually in Nashville, going back and forth.
Oh, nice.
Working on some of these projects. But yeah, so anytime I get to hang out and listen to music and help musicians and or other, you know, a few. I mean, I've done a ton of stuff, guys. I love kids content. So that's my other thing is if I can encourage more people to read and have a better use their imaginations in bigger ways. I do that. So I like working on toy properties and, you know, so I do a ton of shit. If you are for shits and giggles, you can look at my LinkedIn page and you can kind of just see a bunch of the weird stuff I've been involved with. Yeah. But I'm excited about my future projects for sure.
Awesome. And Rocktails.
Oh yeah. And then I'm just going to ruin all of my own personal opportunities by getting drunk with my friends and getting canceled with the shit that I say on Rocktails. So yeah, if you want to be a part of completely Perfect. Ruining my life, then please tune in live at 5 on Fridays, where more often than not, my friends are like, whoa, you can't say that. What? No, you know,
and that's like why we don't go live. And Tom and Tom will say middle of our episode, dude, you can't leave that in. You can't. I'm like, come on. No, you can't.
Yeah. You can't leave that in. You can't.
Yeah, like, you know, it's not cool. Like, I shouldn't say that if you listen to Creed, you'll get Creed poisoning, because that's like that's me. Right.
But funny because it's true.
But right. Like, right. If you listen to the song Cleopatra's Cat, I can't tell you what's going to happen. If you listen to that Spin Doctor song.
Oh, no.
Five times in a row.
Don't.
Are you going to only eat microwavable meals for the rest of your life? I don't know. I don't know. Right. But these are my concerns. These are my concerns.
They're all valid.
Wow.
Ahmet Zappa, man, what a blast this has been. Thank you so much for all of your time. This has been amazing. And we're just so honored to have taken this much of your time. This is great. Thank you so much, buddy.
I had a blast. Sorry for ruining your show and making your cottage industry and the number one Kiss podcast. Sorry I ruined it. Sorry I ruined it.
You didn't ruin it. You didn't ruin it. Come on.
You guys are great. You're wrong about the order of the Kiss solo records. You're dead wrong.
We'll have you back to debate it.
You'll have us on Rocktails and we'll all get drunk and debate it.
You're always welcome. Always welcome to join the mischief. If you don't mind, Tom, apologize for thinking She's So European isn't awesome. I needed an apology before I go.
I love She's So European. Zeus hates it all.
No, that's not true.
You hate that album. You haven't ranked last.
How about Great Expectations?
Yeah, he shits on that constantly. Okay,
I apologize for Great Expectations because it is terrible, but I apologize.
No,
but she's clutching her breast.
And this is where I just leave the show. And I do this in a blaze of glory. Doubles, fuck you guys. Great Expectations. Out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. Tom, that was rock and roll royalty. Ahmet Zappa.
Tons of fun. I love talking to people that are so passionate and so nerdy as we are when it comes to Kiss. We've had tons of great guests on here talking about Kiss, and they're all amazing in their own special way. But when you get somebody like Ahmet, who is willing to put himself out there and get into a debate about Great Expectations, that's how you know you have a great guest. And ranking the solo albums and just arguing and being passionate and emotional about the band. Just great stuff. Awesome guy. Love talking to people that are so into the band the way we are. He was great. He was funny, passionate, loud, angry. It was awesome. He was just like us.
Yeah, he is a ton of knowledge. We have sometimes these guests that, well, we know they're fans of him. Obviously, that's why we want him on.
Yeah.
But when they find a source or release that they have all this Kiss energy.
Exactly.
They want to release it. So sometimes there'll be a wrestler that'll come on, or an actor that'll come on, or a comedian. They have this love of Kiss
and they just can't wait to share it. And it's fucking awesome because the passion is there. And that's the amazing thing. I love to ask him, like, dude, Frank Zappa is one of like critic darlings, everything. I'm like,
that's right.
I'm like, do you ever get shit? Like, you're Frank Zappa's kid. The fuck you listening to Kiss for?
Yep.
Right. And I'm like, it's like someone's like, Kiss. That's nonsense. Listen to ELO. He's like, oh, I actually like ELO. I was waiting for Tom to go, don't bring me down. Sucks.
That fucking band is horrendous. Fucking awful.
But Ahmed, it's a great guy. Tons of fun. Check out his show. That podcast is hilarious.
Oh, it's great. You have to listen to that at the recent episode where he has Gene call in and they talk about the 50th anniversary of the debut. Great. The show in general is awesome. He's done one on voting on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He had one not too long ago about the Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth debate. Just great stuff. Just a fun conversation with friends. He has guests on all the time. And it's live on YouTube. You go on, so it's live, but then it also replays on his YouTube channel, and then you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the audio version.
But he, like Frank Zappa, like the rest of his family members,
brilliant,
all have like a million different talents.
Yep.
Acting, movies, producing, guitar,
writing books, and writing stories. Kids' books.
Yeah. I remember Dweezil was in fucking Shot in the Dark, Aussie video.
Yep.
And remember, all of a sudden he's playing guitar in videos. And I'm like, oh, he's acting in this. Then he's a producer over here. Then he's they're all like that. And
it's crazy.
Moon Unit and all the rest of them. You're like, what the fuck? This family is so fucking talented.
Yeah.
And he, when he started listening, sorry, Paul Stanley, that's the real Renaissance man.
Yeah, exactly. In a good way, for sure.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
We had a blast. We talked to him, as we do with most guests, but we had a really fun conversation before we hit record. And even after we hit record, just a great guy, tons of fun, tons of passion, tons of knowledge. And it was just a blast to talk to him. We hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. I'm pretty sure you guys did. So we hope.
Yeah. And that's another thing I just want to kind of mention to you guys. I'm sure you guys have noticed the guests, we're getting a bunch of guests. We're doing a lot more interviews and things like that. Dude, it's part of the privilege and stuff that we get to do this stuff, that we're just having fun with these people.
Exactly.
And we've yet to get the one person when you're like, dude, this guy's a dick.
No.
We're always so blessed that most of these people, if not all of them, turn out to be better than expected. Not just good guests, but like friendly and fun and awesome and interested.
Yep.
It's Kiss, and that brings it out of people. Because Kiss should be fun, people.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Interesting. Not fucking something to get angry about and upset and overanalyze and shit. Have fun with this, people. Have fun with it.
Great stuff.
Ahmed, thank you so much. Tom, what we do next is we go to question of the week. You got one.
Yes, we do. And of course, our question of the week is brought to our man, Shout It Out Loudcast Hall of Famer, the great Tony Barone of ABCPA Inc. It is tax season. I can tell you right now, he's done our taxes for us this year. He did them last year. Doesn't matter where you live, he's good to do your taxes in all 50 states. Check out his website, abcpainc.com. You can click on all the links there to see all the different services he offers. Whether you need things taken care of as an individual or as a business or both, he's the man for all of it. You can click on the links, get his phone number, send him messages, research everything. But I can tell you right now, listen to Zeus and I. He is the man. He has worked with us, and he's fantastic. Check him out, abcpainc.com. And with that, our question of the week comes from Jesse Ball. Hey, guys, listening to your review of Alive 3, that's an old episode, and really enjoyed the part where you were waxing nostalgic about buying albums at Tower Records, which was pretty common for those of us who grew up in the 90s. That got me thinking, what's the oddest place you have ever purchased a Kiss album? For me, it was a True Value hardware store in the backwoods of northern Michigan in 1991, where I found a cassette of Killers. Thanks for the time, guys. Love the show. Weirdest place you ever bought a Kiss album, Zeus?
I don't know. What is he expecting me to say?
I don't know.
Yeah, there were Tower Records all around, so I didn't really go any place crazy. The only thing I could suggest is
I used to, when I would go to Greece and I was a young kid, I would go into the record stores. I was a young kid and I was hanging out with my mom and fucking nothing to do. I'd go into a record store and buy records or cassettes at the time based on their covers. And I told you that's where I bought Wasp stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I got Killers there because I was like, what the fuck is this?
Right. It's European.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And it was in Europe. The other thing is I would buy Zeppelin album cassettes there.
Yep.
And tracks were always backwards. Like track two would always be on the other side.
Okay.
So okay. I had, Four Sticks on Zeppelin four side one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not cool. Battle of Evermore. It was on the opposite. Things like that, I just remembered.
Yeah. Well, Greek record store, that's a good answer. For me, the weirdest
place. I'll have 2 euros and a hold the tzatziki sauce and give me that fuck like a beast cassette there you got.
For me, so I've lived in southern New Hampshire for about 18 years. 18 years!
And you drove what?
I drive race cars for 18 years.
I say, I'm not even going to pull your license. You're going to drive like that. I'm good.
And around here, there's a lot of flea markets and like weird kinds of fucking New England shit things. There's a town called Londonderry, New Hampshire, and they always had this huge, massive, sprawled out yard sale flea market thing, weather permitting because it's outside. Years back when we first got up here, we took a road trip and went there and I wanted it because it was old and beaten up and it was like kind of a nostalgic collector's item. It was the Paul Stanley solo album on vinyl.
Ooh.
I got it for like $2. It wasn't in great condition, but it sounded good. But to me, I'm like, of all the places to find Kiss shit, the Londonderry flea market. So Greek record stores, New Hampshire flea markets. It might not be good as a Northern Michigan True Value hardware store, but those are our answers, brother.
What about that fucking horror convention you brought me to? We bought those Kiss things. We went to a convention. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Couple posters. I've got a couple posters I'm going to post in my Facebook poster group.
Anyways. Jesse, thank you for the question. Much appreciated, buddy.
And Tom, where can people find us?
We've mentioned it before. We're going to mention it again. Our website, that's where you get everything. ShoutoutLoudcast.com. You get all of our episodes. The Shoutout Loudcast episodes, Dorm Damage, Album Review Crew, Zeppelin Chronicles, links to our social media, links to Patreon, links to our merch store on Amazon, links to our Amazon shopping page. Comments, pictures, rankings, everything is there. We always tell people to go there. And of course, if you want question of the week, if you want it read on an episode, we do one every week. You can use the website to do that, or you can use our email, shoutoutloudcast@gmail.com. We read every single email that you send us. We say this all the time because we want to keep encouraging people to email us. We can't get to all of them during the show, but we do read everyone. So please keep sending them. And of course, our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, very, very active on all those. So please make sure you're following us. And we always like to say that we are a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network of shows.
Yeah, people can always DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're now on Threads and TikTok. And check out our Spotify playlist.
Yes.
Where you have to go to our profile, not our podcast page. But you click on Shout Out Loudcast profile and you'll see all our playlist. Tom has been undertaking that and he'll almost completed, but go check it out and check out some of the playlists we've created for our episodes.
That's right. Yep. It's a fun way to interact with the episode. So check those out.
Yep. So in addition to that, you can go to YouTube and subscribe to us. We always want to get that YouTube subscription up higher because then it shows up on more and more people's searches and then eventually get more and more listeners and involvement in the show. So much appreciated on that account, fellas. And obviously, if you can go to our Apple Podcast and give us one of those 5-star child reviews on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, anywhere else you can find your podcast, please do so. It moves us up the food chain. It helps the show out tremendously. And it does well for us. And matter of fact, I think we got a new one on Apple Podcasts, Tom. And I'd like to read it for you right now, please.
Yes, go for it.
God bless you. It says Joey Caserta.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
Great review. And this is 5 stars. Great review of Ace's new album. Knew you guys would give an honest opinion. Love the podcast as a whole. Keep up the great work, fellas. And thank you for bringing you two back again. Been a Kiss fan for a long time, and you guys bring a lot of great memories with these episodes. I also enjoy Dorm Damage, ARC, and the Zeppelin Chronicles. Thanks for all the entertainment and the effort you guys put into it. Mr. Purple Sky. Well, Mr. Purple Sky, thank you for that. Shout out to you. Don't know who you are. Feel free to send us a message so we can thank you so we know who actually wrote this. Much appreciated, buddy.
Yeah, and thank you so much. That's awesome. Appreciate it. Yeah.
So if anybody does give us a 5-star child review, we will definitely read it and give you a shout out. In addition, we always like to give the website, shoutitoutloudcast.com. Shoutitoutloudcast.com, as Tom mentioned, you can go and get our merch page, which a lot of stuff is coming out. By the way, we are going to be putting up a new Ace Cult shirt designed by the one and only Hall of Famer, Jeff Trott.
Yes, and it's awesome. Ooh, wait until you guys see that one.
Yep, that's going to be put up there shortly, and you'll really like it. So go to our Shout Out Loudcast page, check on merch, and you'll see it there. There's our Amazon store you can use that helps out the show, and also all our rankings is there. You can check those out. You can check out friends of the show, people that have been on the show, read about them. If you click on their picture, it goes to their website and stuff. You can get info on them. And check out Loudcaster's page, where we have all your pictures that you guys have sent us wearing Shout It Out Loudcast gear. So, and there's also pictures of the events that we've been to, whether it be Kiss Cruise, 10 and 11, mm-hmm. or whether it's Creatures Fest, or even the evening with Gene Simmons. They're all there, and have some fun there. And shout out loudcast.com. Tom, what we always like to do is end on famous last words. Do you have any?
I do. And this is in honor of our special guest, Amit Zappa. You're sitting in your seat, and then you stand and clutch your breast. Our music drives you wild, along with the rest.
Tonight, I want to give it all to you. In the darkness, there's so much I want to do. Amit Zappa, Tom, Loudcasters, Kiss Army, thank you.
Huge thanks to Amit Zappa. A ton of fun. Thank you so much for joining us. Loudcasters, patrons, everybody out there, you guys rock. Thank you. Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout. Hit the music. What I'd like now is for all you fat, out of shape, worldwide Kiss tards to keep the noise down while I show your ladies what a real sexy man looks like.
Listen, all you people out there sitting on rented furniture, settle down.
Cut the music. Anybody seen Richie? Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any fantasy points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that fantasy points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at fantasy points. Fantasypoints.com. Code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.